Baseball Tonight is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Your flight to Bristol has been delayed once again. For your entertainment purposes, please listen to the Baggage Claim Monday edition of the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney. The White Zone is for a meeting.
And this is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, April 19th, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, and I am between the E and the F concourses at O'Hare Airport, Taylor. And, you know, kind of shaking the cobwebs. You and I are taping at about 6:45 Eastern Time a.m., 5:45 Central. How you doing?
Oh, lovely. This is exactly how I like to start a Monday. But you look cozy over there. You knew when we talked when you were in Atlanta, you were like, you know, nowhere really to nestle away and do the podcast. But it looks like you got a good spot over there.
I know that in O'Hare, you've got this one long hallway that goes between E and the F concourses. And, you know, I can sit here and not have so many people walk by and wonder, what the heck is the guy doing screaming about baseball?
Buster.
Exactly. All right. Some really interesting stuff over the weekend, some really tough stuff over the weekend. You start with this. The third straight Twins game was postponed because of coronavirus. That between the Twins and the Athletics. The Twins were postponed from playing on Saturday and Sunday in their games against the Angels. The Nationals placed pitcher Steven Strasburg on the 10-day injured list with shoulder inflammation. I got to say, this is concerning. We saw in Strasburg's last start that his velocity was dropped, and he was rubbing the back of his shoulder. You wonder, you know, how he's going to be moving forward. We got news on Sunday. Jay Bruce, 34 years old, three-time All-Star, decided to retire. He, of course, started the season with the Yankees. He didn't really play that well. So now he's calling the end of a career in which he was extremely accomplished. 14 seasons, 319 home runs, 951 RBI. That series between the Dodgers and the Padres over the weekend, man, did that live up to the hype. This was on Sunday. Padres, Dodgers, the Dodgers having won on Friday and on Saturday. Eric Hosmer came to the plate in the bottom of the eighth inning with a score tied 2-2.
Here's the 1-0 pitch. Hosmer hard hit liner through the middle. That'll get through. It is a base hit. Profar's rounding third. He's on his way. He will score. Throw goes to third. Tatis is standing there and now out as he goes over the bag. Either way, the Padres have taken the lead. The run scored just before Tatis tagged out at third, and 3-2 Padres after eight.
That from 97.3, The Fan. The Padres' rally would continue.
Santana delivers, and a hard hit liner deep to left field. That one is going to go up against the wall on one hop. Two runs will score. Pham into second with a double, and the Padres put up a crooked number in the eighth. 5-2, San Diego.
And the Padres win this game, taking the set last game of the series. We'll be talking with Tim Kirkchin about that. The Mets and the Rockies, we saw Jacob deGrom on Saturday, was ridiculously good, striking out 14. On Sunday, Marcus Stroman pitched well, and he made a great play.
Swinging a ground ball back toward the mound. Stroman behind his back fields, dribbles it to first. It's in time. Fuentes is out as Stroman behind his back made the play. And then as he fell backward, just kind of rolled the ball to first base. Alonso waited for it, dug it out, and he got the out at first, just barely in time to beat Fuentes.
Mets win 2-1. They're in first place in the National League East, which will be competitive the whole summer. The Indians and the Reds on Sunday, and Shane Bieber tied a big name.
Here it comes. Strike three called. Schrock guessed curveball and took a fastball right down the middle. Bieber finishes the day with 13 strikeouts, tying Nolan Ryan. 48 strikeouts in his first four starts of 2021. Nolan Ryan and Shane Bieber, the most strikeouts ever in the first four games to start a season.
Tom Hamilton, WTAM 1100. What a rough weekend for the Yankees. Their offense completely shut down again. They're playing the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay looking for a sweep. It was 2-2, top of the seventh inning. Garrett Cole on the mound.
Swing and a little looper into right field. This is going to get down and maybe go to the wall. It will go all the way to the wall. Hicks to go get it. Around third comes Wendell. He's going to be waved home. And on the RBI double by Yoshi Tsutsugo, the Rays take a 3-2 lead here on the seventh off Garrett Cole.
David Will, 620 WDAE. And after the game, after the Rays won 4-2, Cole was asked about the Yankees' mood right now.
Well, certainly not happy. You know, it's not happy.
Yeah, he was at a loss for words describing it. He was asked about the team struggles.
We have too much experience. We have too many good players that have gone through adversity before, you know, to really be surprised by it. I mean, you know, you play this game long enough, you're going to go through some crap. You know, you're going to have to strap your boots on and wade through the mud a little bit.
On Sunday Night Baseball, the Braves and the Cubs, and Ronald Acuña Jr. coming into the game, he was the big story. He let off. He made an out. So if you're Kyle Hendricks, you're thinking, you know what? Maybe it's going to work out okay. Or maybe not. Freddie Freeman was the second hitter.
Next offering is hit in the air right field, and that one way back there, and that is way gone. Home run, Freddie Freeman. He crushed it. And for Freeman, his fifth over that right field wall, and it is 1-0 Atlanta.
That was Boog Sciambi on ESPN Radio, the legend. Yeah, that ball got out of the entire ballpark, but it was a precursor for what was to come. Here was Travis d'Arnaud a couple batters later.
1-1. Swing and a high fly ball hit in the air left field. That one going back. That one on its way. And that's gone. Travis d'Arnaud will touch them all. And the Braves are on top. It is 3-0.
And they would go on and hit two more homers in that first inning. Kyle Hendricks, the ninth pitcher in Major League history to allow four homers in the first inning of a game. Kyle Hendricks, the first pitcher in Cubs history to allow four homers in the first inning of a game. But as the Braves built a lead in their 13-4 win, Ronald Acuña Jr. popped up after a headfirst slide and pointed his midsection. He eventually came out of the game. He is set for follow-up tests on what the Braves determined as an abdominal strain. Terrible news for the Braves. Terrible news for baseball because he's been one of the best players so far. Now, as the night was playing out, Anthony Rizzo was wearing a mic for us on Sunday Night Baseball. And, man, he was awesome with the microphone. Listen to him in the midst of a rundown of Freddie Freeman.
Frederick! Freddie! Because as soon as he saw me, I'm like, Frederick! I just started dying.
Oh, that was so funny to listen to. The two of them giving each other a hard time throughout the game, and we got to listen in and all that. Now, before we get to Tim, to an interview we did last week with Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuña Jr., we'll also hear from David Ross, the Cubs manager, Brian Sitker, the Braves manager. Baseball is back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with more than 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/baseball. And the fantasy baseball season is underway. That means fantasy-focused baseball with Eric and Tristan is a must-listen for all fantasy baseball managers. Follow fantasy-focused baseball wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, Experience it live.
Seam heads rejoice. This is Timmy time.
Baseball is the greatest game.
With Tim Kirkchen.
It never disappoints you.
On Baseball Tonight.
And Tim Kirkchen covers baseball for ESPN. And Tim, first off, good morning. Again, thank you. I think you're beginning to wonder about this participation in Baggage Claim Monday, because where you are, it's just before 7 a.m. and I'm sitting in this hallway at O'Hare Airport.
You're at an airport now still?
Yeah, I went from the hotel and I just, we just got done doing the open. I have this beautiful hallway and that runs, this hallway that runs between the E and the F concourses, and not many people come through here. You know, occasionally I'll see a pilot, a flight attendant who look at me weird as I'm yelling about baseball.
Well, this is a COVID thing, Buster, because that's the most crowded airport in the world. And if this were normal circumstances, there is no quiet hallway at O'Hare Airport. I've been there a million times. So I'm glad you found something quiet.
Yeah. And I'm glad we get to talk about baseball with you, and we get to talk about this amazing Padres-Dodgers series over the weekend. I think you would agree with me. Usually the reality doesn't live up to the hype. I remember a couple of years ago, right after the Yankees acquired Giancarlo Stanton, and we talked about, you know, how many home runs will Stanton and Aaron Judge hit together, and I said a ridiculous number like 100, okay? and that certainly didn't live up to the hype, but that series over the weekend, amazing. Here was the end of game two on Saturday night.
But it's Gonzalez to Pham between now and then. Swing and a fly ball into center field. Diving catch made by Betts, and the Dodgers win it. A spectacular play by Mookie Betts.
According to our friends at StatCast, by the way, that was our old friend Charlie Steiner, 570 LA Sports. According to our friends at StatCast, the catch had a 10% probability rate, considering how much ground he covered. That was the highlight of this amazing three-game series, Tim, that felt like a playoff series. It felt like something you normally see in September, October, not early in April.
Right. Mookie Betts, as you know, Buster, thanks to StatCast, ran 52 feet to catch that ball. And we all know if he doesn't catch it, and he barely did, that game is tied. He's also the best right fielder in the league, but because he has to play center field, which of course he's done before, that made the catch even more impressive. And yes, that was the highlight of a spectacular three-game series between those two teams. To me, though, one of my favorite parts of the series was that David Price, your boy from Vanderbilt, hit a sacrifice fly on Friday night. It's the second RBI of his career. And the sacrifice fly went to a pitcher, Joe Musgrove, who pitched a no-hitter 7 days earlier, who was playing left field in a major league game because they ran out of players because Jake Cronenworth had to pitch. So I checked with my boys at the Elias, and the last time a pitcher hit a ball that was caught or just fielded by another pitcher in a major league game who was playing a position other than pitcher was in 1984 when Shane Raleigh hit a ball to left field and Don Robinson caught it. Don Robinson started the game. He's a pitcher. He started in left field because it was the last day of the season. That was the last time anything as wild as that happened to in the first game, but all three games were absolutely tremendous. And if this is what we have to look forward to for the 19 games between these three teams, count me in.
Yeah, boy, were the fans into it. Like, and I know having worked in San Diego, like Padre fans, they don't like the Dodgers. They don't like the Dodgers at all. And Dodger fans are dismissive of the Padres. I see it play out on social media every single day. I really feel like we can say with confidence here on April 19th that the Dodgers are clearly the preeminent team in baseball. They're on a pace that would take them to like 125 wins and a run differential of like 350. And I think we can say with confidence that the Padres are the second best team. Is that right?
Yes, that is right for me, at least. The Padres are really good, and the Dodgers are just better, period. Buster, they've had a lead in every game this year. They could have won, in theory, every game that they played this year. That's how well they played. And with all these injuries and everything else, they just keep bringing guys up, sticking guys in the lineup. They keep doing it. And even though their bullpen let them down a little bit yesterday, their bullpen's been great. The whole team has been great. And I think the Padres Dodgers are going to play deep into October. That's how good both of those teams have a chance to be.
And I really wish that the playoff format had been revamped, because let's face it, if the Dodgers wind up winning that division, because there are only 10 playoff teams, if the Dodgers wind up winning that division, having the number one seed, the Padres would have to get through that one game playoff, the wild card game. And you just never know with that game. I don't know what to make of Fernando Tatis Jr., Tim. You know, we talked a lot about, since he had that injury of his left shoulder, the subluxation. And over the weekend, he hit a home run. He clearly, you know, has made some changes with a two-handed finish instead of the violent one-handed finish. And he didn't look that great. Besides that, what'd you see?
Yeah, I'm worried for his sake that he's going to try to play through an injury that's going to be exceptionally difficult to play through. Buster, this is baseball. This is the ultimate skill sport in my mind, and you can't just make an adjustment in the way you've been playing just to protect something and expect to be the exact same player that you were before. Now, I'm not saying he should have the surgery and end a season, but I'm just saying it's going to be tricky for him to make an adjustment of this size at the plate. Also, his defense has suffered. I think he's got 7 errors already. He made 3 all last year, whatever that was. So I'm a little bit worried for his sake that against the pitching you have to face, and then you have to make an adjustment to protect maybe that shoulder. I think he's so talented, he'll play his way through it. But let's hope for his sake that he can.
Yeah, and I got to believe that with the Padres staff, there has to be concern about that. As you know, going into the 2020 season, you know, that there were a lot of questions about his defense. And in fact, the Padres flirted with the idea of trading for Francisco Lindor, making a deal with the Cleveland Indians to bring him over and perhaps moving Tatis to the outfield. And Bobby Dickerson was brought in as a coach. Ryan Flaherty was brought in on the staff, two people that, you know, Manny Machado knows well from his days in Baltimore, and they work very closely with Fernando Tatis Jr. And I know that staff was incredibly impressed with how, you know, Fernando cut down on his errors, on how he got very much better at making simple plays. And what I'm seeing is mistakes in simple plays so far this year.
Yeah, well, that simply can't happen. It's ridiculous to bring up Derek Jeter after all these years, but you covered him, Buster, and you never saw him miss a simple play. You never saw him make a mistake on a ball hit in October, especially on a ball he has to make. And that's, to me, the definition of a shortstop. You better make the routine plays if you're going to be on a championship caliber team. And that's what Tatis Jr. is going to have to do. And he will. It's just, he's still trying to deal with something that I'm sure there's some pain and some discomfort in that shoulder that's going to make it difficult.
Yeah, and we're obviously upset about the fact that he got hurt, and then at some point he might require surgery and he might be out a while, because he's one of the most exciting players to watch, which brings us to Ronald Acuña Jr. Tim, I was just brokenhearted. You know, like last night, we were so excited because we get to see the Braves and we get to see Acuña Jr., who's the best player in baseball early this season. You know, going into that game last night, led the National League in hits, runs, home runs, and RBI. And it seems he's taken this big step forward. And last night, he belly flops on a pickoff attempt into first base and gets up, and he's pointing at his midsection. And he again looked like he had discomfort after a head-first slide into second. And then he subsequently scores. And after his head-first slide into home plate, you could see that there was discomfort again, and he goes into the Braves dugout, and they take him out, and they announce that he has an abdominal strain. He's going to have tests later today, which are going to determine the severity. And then at that point, they'll determine the severity of this injury. But you and I both know those abdominal strains, they can linger, which is why the Braves are going to have to play it conservatively, and we're probably not going to see him on a field for a while.
Yeah, and that is really a shame for all of us, because I'm not sure I've enjoyed watching anyone play in recent years as much as the way he's played so far. And Buster, as you know, it's more than just the hits, the home runs, the RBIs, and the runs scored. It's the way he's playing the outfield, the way he's throwing, and mostly the way he is running the bases. He's done a couple things running the bases this year, including beating out a ground ball to Didi Gregorius that was hit like 107 miles an hour, and he beat it out to first. That's the fun part. And he's playing with this ridiculous emotion that I know he always plays with, but now more than ever. So I'm not sure where the lesson is here, but maybe Lou Brock taught us that if you can go in feet first, that's the best way to go, and you're not going to get hurt as much. Maybe any slide would have hurt that abdominal muscle, but you do it enough times, eventually you might get hurt. Let's just hope for the game of baseball more than anything that he comes back quickly from this, but that doesn't sound encouraging to me, not with an abdominal muscle.
So I was getting ready for a SportsCenter hit yesterday, and in conversation with the Braves people on Friday and Saturday, Tim, I found out, you know, when Acuna hits those home runs and he drops his bat, those no-doubter home runs, and he drops his bat and he looks at the Braves dugout and he screams, you know, what I found out, what he yells at his teammates is La Bestia, okay, which is Spanish for the beast. I know you know that from your many years of taking Spanish. And I got to say, when I was getting ready for SportsCenter yesterday, I was trying to decide whether or not to actually say that on air, because let's face it, you know, it coming out of my mouth versus Ronald Acuna Jr. after he hits a towering home run, it almost sounds absurd. And guess who was the anchor on SportsCenter, as it turned out? It was Tony Collins, who's bilingual. I told her before we went ahead, I'm like, Tony, I'm going to tell you this story, and I'm going to say this word, and then I want you to make fun of my Spanish. Was that the right decision, Tim?
Yes, and because Tony was the host of the show, and she's great, and she would laugh along with you, and everyone else would laugh at you, because I can only imagine how terrible your accent is. But we've been over this, Buster. I wish I had a bad Spanish accent, because I have a bad French accent, and that's the only language other than English that I can speak a little bit of is French. Still, the biggest mistake of my life is taking French in high school and college instead of Spanish. And now that Russell Martin has retired, I have no one to speak French to. I did speak French to him once, and he told me that might be the worst French accent I've ever heard. So there you go.
Oh, man. Yeah, I felt a little self-conscious when I was saying that, which is why I said to Tony on air, yeah, okay, that didn't sound as cool or as loud as we know Ronald says it for sure. We've got this great interview we did the middle of last week with Ronald Acuna Jr. and his teammate Ozzie Albies. And Ronald Acuna Jr., his improvement in English, you're going to hear it in this interview, a lot of fun as those two guys were going back and forth. Now, one of the best stories over the weekend, the promotion of Sean Casmar. Tim, tell me about Sean Casmar. How about that guy over the weekend?
So the last time he played was in 2008. He's 36 years old. He comes back after 13 years of not playing in the big leagues and makes it back. And even though he grounded into a double play in his first at bat back, that's hardly the point. The point is, this is just a show of perseverance and commitment to try to make it back. I mean, one other guy, a pitcher from the 40s or something, spent even more time away from the big leagues, but 13 years is a ridiculous number. And I just love stories like this. I love anyone who tries this hard to make it back. And let's just hope he sticks for a while. We get to watch him play a bunch of times, because, you know, baseball is all about great stories, and there can't be too many of them better than a guy who hasn't played since 2008 and made it back.
Yeah, like 6 years playing in AAA and Gwinnett in the Braves organization, played for Brian Snitker in the minor leagues. And Snit told us over the weekend that, you know, when he would have a good game, he would text him. This is after Snit became manager of the Braves. You know, he talked about what a positive person, and I think you'd agree with me on this. No organization is keeping a minor leaguer around when he's 36 years old, unless he's an incredibly positive influence on young players.
Right. And he kind of mirrors Brian Snitker himself. Brian Snitker, as you know, was ready to retire. He wasn't going to be in baseball anymore. And then out of nowhere, he becomes the manager of the Braves. So I think it's very symmetrical that the manager who called this kid up is Brian Snitker, who has a very similar story as a coach, player, coach, and now manager to what this kid is going through.
Yeah, we're going to be hearing from Brian Snitker about and him talk about Sean Cashmore coming up later in the podcast. Another thing that was cool yesterday, you know, they made these great T-shirts for Acuña Jr. and Albies that looks like one of those presidential team. And it says Albies Acuña 21. And Tim, Ozzy Albies was nice enough. He actually carried in his bag a set of T-shirts for me. They're like, you know, these wonderful T-shirts from his T-shirt company. They're in extra large. How about I save one for you?
How about a medium and maybe even a small? I think an extra large would look like me wearing Rick Sutcliffe's coat, which we won't go into that. That was the most embarrassing thing ever. Yes, medium will be fine. A little bit loose, but I'll take it.
So over the weekend, I also found out that in the contract talks, Tim, between the Cubs and Javier Baez in the spring of 2020, before the sport was shut down with COVID, the Cubs dangled an offer. I don't know exactly what the number was, but it was something in the range of $180 million. And Javi turned that down, which to me puts a completely different context on his struggles in 2020 and at the beginning of this season, because now I'm wondering how much pressure he's putting on himself.
Yeah. Again, Buster, this game is so difficult to play, especially for a hitter that's got to face this kind of pitching every night. I just shake my head and wonder, how does anyone ever get a hit anymore? And now you got it in your head that you just turned down potentially all of that money. And then you have a really rugged year at the plate. And then your team gets off to a bad start, especially offensively the next year. And it's still in your head. Did I turn down all that money? Is all of that money going to come back sometime? I'm going to go get it back tonight. I'm going to get three hits tonight. Then you start swinging out of your shoes. And I love that kid. He can really play still. And even though the numbers aren't there, he's back to the swinging a lot of pitches out of the strike zone, which we know is his MO. And that's one reason he's been so good. He can chase and still hit the ball all over the field, but it's not working as well. And I'm starting to worry a little bit for his sake, whether he maybe should have taken that, and is that really weighing on him?
Yeah, 100%. And as he works through his struggles, another thing that's happened is he's really struggling with fastballs in the strike zone. We saw the beginning of this last year. I think going into last night's game on fastballs in the strike zone, he was batting under 100. And while he got a hit off Josh Tomlin late in the game, generally speaking, as other guys were putting up some numbers over the course of the weekend, he continues to generate a lot of strikeouts. All right, Tim, thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Buster. Get out of that hallway and get home, okay?
Here's the interview we did with Ronald Acuña Jr. and Ozzy Albies. Ronald Acuña Jr. is the one you hear talking in Spanish.
Who likes baseball more, you or Ronald?
Me, both of us.
Who is the better dresser?
Me? No chance.
100%. To my friend, to my swagger. You see that?
Who is the better dancer?
I'll give that to him. He danced the whole day. He likes dancing.
Yeah, thank you. Finally.
If you guys had a race, who's going to win the race?
I'll give it to him. I'm making feel good right now.
Ozzy, do you think Ronald could go 50-50 or 40-40? 50 homers, 50 steals, 40 homers, 40 steals.
No doubt. No doubt. He can do it. Anything. Nothing is impossible, so you can do it.
What have you seen in him this year in terms of his improvement?
I mean, I'm seeing 2019 Ronald, and even better. So that's what he does. When he's hustling and playing hard like always he does, it's going to turn out to be good for him.
Ronald, what do you see in Ozzy in terms of his improvement?
Whatever you throw, he can hit.
Ronald, describe what you like about Ozzy as a person.
Bueno, todo. La personalidad, la forma como él juega la pelota de la manera correcta. Y todo, ahí está la respuesta correcta, todo.
You said everything, the way I play, the way I go about myself, and just everything I do.
Ozzy, describe what you like about Ronald as a person.
Everything on the field and off the field. He's just himself, so even when things are not going his way, he still have his mind positive that something's going to turn back around and be good for him.
Here's Boog Shambi's interview with Cubs manager David Ross on Sunday.
Jim, thanks very much. As we get ready for Sunday Night Baseball, and we are joined by the manager of the Chicago Cubs, David Ross. Well, yesterday you guys broke out in a big way, 6 home runs after some real offensive struggles. What was that like yesterday in terms of the relief, the release, just to see that happen?
You know what? It really felt good in the dugout. The spirits were up. These guys have been working their tail off and, you know, not a lot to show for it. And you just waiting for kind of that dam to break and things to flow and let the production come that we know these guys are capable of. So it was really nice to see these guys, all their hard work paying off. There was a sense of relief, I think, throughout the group yesterday, putting up a really big number off a good pitcher and scoring some runs, having some balls go in the gap, over the fence. It was a nice day for the offense yesterday for sure, and one we definitely needed.
How have you experienced it kind of emotionally, mentally? Because you're aware of what baseball is in 2021. You made the comment the other day about how hard it is to hit right now. So there's not a lot you can do but run those guys out there who have good resumes, the back of the baseball cards, and hope the results change. But even still, as the manager, do you feel a little helpless at times just sort of sitting there watching and waiting?
Yeah, you gotta have faith in those guys and in the group. And like you said, you're banking on their resumes coming to the forefront at some point, you know. And I think the more you struggle when you've had a lot of success, the more you press. And the one thing I know about this group and these guys is that they care a lot. They care a lot about the organization and each other and expect big things out of themselves. And so when they weren't producing, we weren't winning a lot of games and really producing offensively, you know, they put extra pressure on themselves. So as a manager, you're right. You're just trying to be upbeat, say positive things, keep them pushing in the right direction, keep them working, and then just kind of fend off the media, so to speak, a little bit and try to produce, preach patience and help these guys knowing that they're going to come out of it.
Can you put into words what it's like in terms of being a leader during COVID times? Because your starter tonight is Kyle Hendricks, who was scratched from his last start because he was dealing with some symptoms, and he hasn't tested positive, so he's ready to go here. But you kind of always have to be on alert for this stuff, even when a guy might be just feeling bad and it's not COVID. You've got to deal with it.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of being flexible. I really rely a lot on my coaching staff and keeping guys ready and informed. And it's just a lot of conversations with doctors in the front office and trying to stay flexible, trying to get guys from the alt site and making sure they're ready. And not too many guys are, you know, we have those guys wait some days if we have day games to pitch and just in case something happens last minute. And then you got to have conversations about vaccines and trying to get to the 85% number. That's important to us, trying to still push forward and get as many guys vaccinated as we can, so that we can, you know, loosen some of these protocols. But it's definitely a time that is unique and definitely all I've known as a manager. So you got to understand there's going to be days that things kind of get thrown in the blender and you got to kind of sort them out as best you can and go out and compete that day and still try to win.
Challenging, no question about it. Thanks for the time, David Ross.
Boog, always a pleasure, buddy.
Here's Carl Ravitch's interview with Braves manager Brian Snitker on Saturday.
All right, Brian, you've seen so much baseball. Where would you put what we've seen from Acuña in the first 2 weeks relative to any other incredible performances you've seen?
Probably right. I don't know that I've seen anything like that yet in my career. It's just been crazy. It's the entire game. You know, you see all the tools on any given day. And the kid's a force in the outfield. He's a weapon in right field with his arm, the base running. The hitting, just how he's matured as a hitter and uses the whole field. And it's crazy. I mean, it's just crazy.
You have Freed and Soroka and Morton, and yet in a lot of ways, Oscar Renoa has been your best starter. How did that happen?
You know, he did a really good job for us last year. Here's another young kid that's starting to figure some things out. He's not scared at all. He's a big, strong kid. I mean, his last start or the first start, I mean, we were seeing things we didn't see in spring training. And, you know, he's got a really good ability to spin the ball. And it's just, you know, he's a young guy that's starting to figure it out. Like I say, it's a big, strong, really good arm. And we stretched him out in spring training as one of the potential starters because, you know, just like we saw yesterday, we had to call on Kyle. And you know, we're probably going to need 8 or 9 of them before the year's over. So he was one of the guys that we did stretch out, although I had kind of in mind him filling in, you know, a right-handed reliever role too, because he's a multiple inning guy. He's got the breaking ball and could be very valuable there. But, you know, we were forced to use him as a starter, and he's so far it's been really good.
So Albies gets hit by a pitch. You can add Ozzie to the list of those guys that are banged up. Inciarte goes on the 10-day IL. The injuries seem unprecedented. Everybody goes through it. And yet you brought up Sean Casmar Jr. Is there a soft spot in your lineup for him? And tell us a little bit about him.
And yeah, there is a soft spot. I managed him in AAA. Like I said, it's a book waiting to be written or a movie, because his last appearance in the major leagues was 08. And now here we are in 2021 and guys still grinding. And the thing about him is he just keeps getting better. I mean, he's a guy that has been in AAA, probably setting all the Gwinnett marks for hitting, yep, and games played and the whole thing. And he's, you know, he takes care of himself. He's a grinder. He loves to play baseball, loves it. And like I say, he just keeps getting better. And that was probably one of my better moments in my managing career at any level, was bringing him to my room last night and telling him he's on the active roster.
That's great. Thanks, Brian.
Okay.
Bleacher Tweets.
Already, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for an early Monday morning. First up, Mitchell at Tigers of Detroit writes in, which injury is more of a concern to their team, Rendon or Yelich?
I think Yelich is injury, because I think there's less margin for error for the Brewers in terms of how important Yelich is to their team, and also in the context of how Yelich struggled last year.
Next up, we have Peter R. at Astro PCR13. He writes in, we should crowdsource little things the MLBPA could negotiate for that would help. I'll start. Players on the 60-day DL shouldn't count against luxury tax. More radical idea from Peter. Only free agents count against the luxury tax. What do you think about these ideas?
Peter, I think those are worth discussing. I think there are so many ideas worth discussing between the two sides. And here's the scary thing. I keep on hearing there's basically no conversation going on. This is an incredibly complicated situation that we're seeing coming up with the expiration of the current collective bargaining agreement. There are so many things that need to be done for the sport to get it in a better place. And I think those conversations need to take place over time. I think this negotiation needs to marinate, but they're not talking right now. And it's a huge concern.
The Cold War continues. Last one for today, Jared McInnes at Cupstradamus writes in, I get that it's a need to win, but with a 130 average Odor at the dish, how do you not pinch hit Jay Bruce? It's lefty versus lefty regardless, and DJ can slide over to second base if you tie it. Give the guy his moment, if only to leave to applause.
I don't know, Jared. I think that if you're Aaron Boone, you are only worried at this point because the Yankees have struggled so much with their offense. We'll get more into that tomorrow. You're just looking for a way to win the game. And you're right. Odor has not hit well so far. Jay Bruce was not hitting well. And I think that's the reason why in the end he decided to retire, because he knew he wasn't as much of a factor. And here's also the reality of it. And I don't know how much this factored into what they were thinking. If they had pinched Jay Bruce and he got hurt, then he would have been on the roster. They would have had to pay him to go on the injured list. And so I think if the decision was made before the game that this was going to be it, maybe there was a little bit of thought that they didn't want to put that at risk.
Interesting stuff. All right. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Get home safe, Buster.
I appreciate it. That's it for today. My thanks to Taylor, to Tim. And then I have a laundry list of guys to thank here. Ronald Acuna Jr., Ozzie Albies, Boog Shambi, David Ross, Carl Ravage, Brian Snitker. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.